We've been talking about the manifestation of God's presence. We've been talking about faith and what it takes to move in the Word, to actually have the Word of God active and alive in you. We was talking last week about the fact that where Jesus said, if you have faith as small as a grain of mustard seed, the smallest seed that there is, if you've got that much faith, you can say to this mountain, be removed, be cast in the sea, and it'll happen. And then he said, and nothing shall be impossible for you. Now, he preceded that, or that statement was preceded by the disciples not being able to deliver the young boy that was tormented. And they tried to cast the devils out of him, and they couldn't do it. And then Jesus simply told the demons to leave, and they did. And they come to Jesus and said, why couldn't we do it? And he said, because of your unbelief. And then that's when he said, if you have faith as small as a grain of mustard seed. The reason Jesus said that is because once you have received the Word of God in your heart, your spirit, it doesn't take much faith to act on that, because it becomes who you are. It literally is impressed in you. It is burned into you. It's burned into your very being of this is what Jesus said, and this is true. We talked last Sunday night about in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, that's not just, as we talked last Sunday, that's not just hearing words. It's not just hearing words. You can listen to words. You can listen to teaching. You can listen to messages being preached all the time and hear a lot of words, but it's not until you hear the Word that it actually makes sense to you. It's when the Word becomes life in you. When Jesus came, the first John says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What Jesus, one of the wonderful things that he's done for us is he's made it possible for us to receive that same gift. We are flesh, and he made it possible for the Word to become flesh, for the Word to actually live in us. And when the Word in us begins to demonstrate itself, then we begin to receive what God has done for us. So a lot of faith is not required when you hold the evidence. Remember when Hebrews chapter 11 says, so then faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. In other words, it is the very, you actually hold the evidence of the thing that you have need of. Faith is a substance, tangible. It's something that you can actually get a hold of. Faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Most of us base our faith in God on disappointments instead of trying to find the Word. Matter of fact, whole religions have been built out of disappointment. People, when the doctrine began to be taught that miracles no longer happen because, you know, it died with the last apostle, miracles no longer take place. And now we have to hold on to the Bible because the Bible is the Word of God, which it is. They actually removed any expectation of what they were reading to actually happen. You understand what I'm talking about? In other words, when you read in the Bible about Jesus healing, we can have no expectation of that anymore because it died with the last apostle. The problem is it was not based in the apostles, it was based in Jesus in the Word. When he died on the cross, shed his blood, ascended into heaven, was accepted as the perfect sacrifice, we became adopted into what Jesus has. We became the heirs. You know, we've talked about that. We are the heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If you are a joint heir with Jesus Christ, it means you get equal portions with whoever you're joint heirs with. And so whatever Jesus received from the Father, we have been adopted in, and we receive the same portion as Jesus received. We are not orphans that have been welcomed in. We stand today as the firstborn son. Come on, somebody. Read the Old Testament, what that means. We have been adopted in, not as just somebody accepted to participate in the family. We have been adopted in Jesus. Get a hold of it with me here. We've been adopted in to Jesus, to his position. It is not fair to him to have a bunch of people like us that can't deserve it, can't measure up, can't come close. And yet, the price that Jesus paid on the cross made it possible for all of us that can't get it, can't do it, to be in his position equal with him. What an honor. What an honor. Praise God. That is an honor, because we don't deserve it. How many understand you don't deserve this stuff? Amen. I don't deserve it. It's by faith. We just got to simply live by faith and put our faith in God and say, God, you are everything to me. You're my hope. You're my sufficiency. You are the one that directs my path. You're the one that makes it possible for me to be a part of the family of God. If we're not part of the family of God today, it's only because we haven't accepted the position that God has made available for us. Amen. We've been adopted in. Praise God, adopted into the family of God. And so that spirit of adoption, whereby now we cry, Abba, Father, gives us the opportunity to be as Jesus is. How many, if you're really honest with yourself, say, man, I just don't measure up to that. I just don't measure up to that. Well, that's the neat thing. We don't have to measure up. We just got to accept who Jesus is. Amen. We cannot measure up. Performance-based love was not created by God. It was created by man. Amen. Praise God. Performance-based love. It was created by man to do good, to be accepted by doing good. Did you know when Eve was tempted in the garden, she was not tempted by evil? She was tempted by good. Read it. She saw that the fruit was good. She wasn't tempted by evil. The knowledge of good and evil. It wasn't the evil she was drawn to, it was the good. Man is the ones that created a replacement for God. We try to create good and think it's acceptable. Good is not acceptable to God. Jesus said there's none good but the Father. Good is not acceptable to God. That's why Jesus paid the price and brought us in, because good can never be good enough. It's never acceptable. We have to receive the perfect salvation that Jesus gave for us, and we stand in his perfection. Come on, somebody. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hearing what? Faith comes by hearing. Now, this word hearing is not just hearing words. It's not just hearing something. Some of you hear noises all day. You hear things said all day, but it doesn't sink in. You don't hear it. The noise comes to your brain, but you don't hear it. When you really hear something is when it lodges in your mind and becomes part of your thinking process. Amen. Praise God. How many of you guys get accused of not really hearing what your wife is saying? Come on. Now, I'm going to back up here for a minute and tell you wives that if you want your husband to get it, actually say it. We do not take hints. You cannot allude to a fact and expect us to get it. Okay? You have to actually say it. To hint at something does not get our attention. Boy, it's getting quiet in here now. I mean, you got to actually, the percentage of your husband actually hearing what you actually say can be pretty low. So if you hint at it, he's not going to get it. So you got to actually say it. Okay? Come on, somebody. Amen. That's good. I'm always telling Sister Betty, you got to just say it. Because she wants me to get it. And a lot of times I do. Oh, I'm telling myself now, I do, but I won't act like I do because I want her to say it. I don't want hints. Come on, somebody. Boy, I just blew my cover right there. It's over with now. For a long time, she used to hint at me to take the trash out. And I didn't. I didn't get it done. Most days, I didn't get it done. And so she began to set the trash in front of the door. The first day she did that, I walked to the door, and there's these pile of trash bags. I reached over, unlocked, opened the door, and stepped over them and went on out the door and stood outside for a few minutes waiting. And then opened the door back up and looked inside just to see what was going on. She was hinting, see? And the hints got really loud. See, a lot of times we don't get stuff like that. We don't pick up on stuff like that, okay? If we're going to have faith in our hearts, it's not going to be because we just kind of hear something. It's not going to be because you hear a whole bunch of stuff. Like I said, you can listen to preaching 24 hours a day, but if it never lodges in your soul, if the Holy Spirit is never able to bring revelation to the Word, it's not going to get you anywhere. You can read the Bible through every year, and you need to, and read the Bible over and over and over, but if you don't stop and let the Holy Spirit speak to you, it's not going to get you anywhere. It's just going to be words. But when it becomes the Word in your spirit, then everything changes. Because now it's not just words, it is the Word. And when the Word attaches to you, hearing, This word hearing, it means hearing or receiving a message, something more than the mere sense of hearing. When he said hearing, faith comes by hearing, he's saying this is receiving a message, something more than just the sense of hearing. In other words, it is being listened to and heard in a different way than you listen to anything else. It's actually being received. Now, your spirit, the Holy Spirit, knows the Word of God. How many understand the Holy Spirit knows the Word of God? It amazes me sometimes when Holy Spirit, I'll be needing something or praying, and Holy Spirit will just give me chapter and verse, book, chapter and verse, and say, go read this. And I won't even know what it, you know, I'll go to it, and it'll be exactly the answer that I was needing. And he just speaks that to me. Amen. He just opens it up to me, and there it is. I'm not talking about just, you know, doing that thing where you close your eyes and flip the pages and then do this. I'm talking about hearing the Word, hearing something from God. Amen. Knowing that this is a message. This is not just words. This is a message from the lips of God to you. And when you hear the message from the lips of God to you, that changes everything. Because that message supersedes all your reasoning and all of your arguing that you do on the inside. That message supersedes all that. And that message gives you direction. That message gives you unction. And it gives you the ability to go against the odds and against the obstacles and against the adversity, and causes you to overcome. Why? Because you got a word from God that superseded all of the adversity and opposition that is against you. When you have that word, there's nothing that can stop you. Amen. Don't shout me down. I'm preaching good. All right. When that word becomes flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus received the Word, and then the Holy Spirit, on the day He was baptized, the Holy Spirit caused that Word to come alive. And Jesus did that because He needed to set up a course for us. He didn't have to do that. It didn't have to happen that way. But why did Jesus come? Jesus came to be the way, the truth, and the life for us. And so when He was born of a virgin, He came to demonstrate and open doors for us to enter the presence of God. And so he had to walk in a fleshly body. He was taught the Word of God as he was growing up in the synagogues, and they taught Him the Word of the Old Testament. And the Holy Spirit, on the day He was baptized, the Holy Spirit descended in the form of dove. And God spoke out of heaven and said, this is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And Jesus made a course of action for us. He made a direction. He became the way, the truth, and the life so that we could receive everything that He had. If He would have come as an angelic form and demonstrated God, we would not have connection. But He didn't come that way. Hebrews tells us that He made Himself a little lower than the angels. Amen. Angels, you got human, angels, God. Human, angels, God. And whenever in the authority dimension. So the Bible says in Hebrews that He made Himself a little lower than the angels as a man. And so He was under, in a fleshly body, He was under the power of the angelic realm. But the Holy Spirit came beyond the angelic realm and came into human flesh. And now the Word and the Spirit are united, and the power is no longer from a human body. But now the power is the Word of God with the Spirit of God creating and bringing forth life in an earthly realm. It says that in Hebrews, it says that after He died, that He went back above the angelic realm. And now Ephesians chapter 2 said that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. In other words, the position we have now, the authority that we have now, is not of us. It's not of angels, which is the realm of demon spirits and godly angels. It is from the throne room of God. It is the Word of God with the Spirit of God making, bringing forth power, and therefore we are seated above in our spirit. We're seated above the realm of this earth. I know this is hard for us to grab sometimes, especially here in the Show Me State. God will show you. If you want God to, He'll show you. Hallelujah. It's not just here. I'll never forget the time I was teaching on the authority we have in Christ in India to the pastors, a couple hundred pastors. And at the end of the teaching, Dr. Benjamin got up and he said, "Pastor Snyder has brought to us a beautiful teaching." And then he turned and looked right at me and he said, "And now, possibly Pastor Snyder will demonstrate what he has been teaching." I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care where you're walking. When you're challenged like that, you get a little nervous. Come on, somebody. Because we have to operate in what we are not. We have to operate in an authority that naturally we don't have. And we have to have faith in that. So I told him, I said, "Tonight, we'll demonstrate it tonight. Buying myself a little time." And so the evening service come, and that was still on my mind. I was thinking, "Oh God, I've taught it. Now you need to demonstrate it. Because this is your word, not my word. And now you need to demonstrate it." I think some of you was with me on that one. And this pastor that was in the meetings, the morning sessions, come dragging, I've told some of you this story, come dragging this young girl up by the hair of the head. And number one, I got really mad at him because he was dragging her by the hair of the head. I wanted to go out there and just knock him down. You know, my flesh was rising up. And I was just a little bit irritated that this guy had this girl by the hair of the head. And I noticed that she was flailing around, you know, and stuff. And he drug her right up in front of the platform. Now, Dr. Benjamin had told me not to get off the platform at any time unless the pastors were able to make a guard around me, because people will just absolutely charge. They'll smash you. Me and Sister Betty had that happen to us one time, and it was not a good feeling. I mean, we were against a wall with people pressing in and trying to, and the pastors had to literally shove their way through and pull the people back. They're so desperate for a touch. They're so desperate for God. They're so desperate for healing. They're so desperate for God to touch them, and they will just literally stampede you. And so I didn't get off platform, but he drug that girl up there, and at that point, she put her hands, I can't even get my hands up there, she put her hands around her neck and was strangling herself. It was a demon spirit that was tormenting her, and she was literally strangling herself. And I jumped up and ran to the front of the platform, and I just spoke. I said, "Demon, I command you to stop now. Sit down." And she just dropped to the ground. Just sit down right there. And at that point, a bunch of the pastors made a big circle around her, and I jumped off the platform, which took a lot of faith to recover from. I wasn't as young as I used to be. I used to do that stuff all the time, but somehow this platform was 4 or 5 feet tall, and whenever she just sit down, the pastors come out, I jumped off the platform. When I hit, it felt like it smacked. I mean, all my joints just felt like they broke. All the way up to my head. It's like, "Oh, wow." And I went running out there and laid hands on her. Some of the people with me followed me. We laid hands on her and commanded the spirits to come out. She was set free and delivered. And God demonstrated His Word right there in front of everybody. Amen. God demonstrated His Word. See, the Word became flesh. And the Word and the Spirit mixed together. Remember Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2? So then the Word was preached to them as well as unto us, but the Word did not profit them, not being mixed in faith with faith in them that heard it. So in other words, they didn't take it as a message. They didn't take it as the Word. They just took it as words. And so there was no faith attached to it, and it didn't profit them any. And so the Word, when faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word is a message. The Word is something that you receive straight from God. When you read in the Bible, and all of a sudden it's like the words jump off the page. Have you ever done that? It just stops you. And it's like that Word just seizes you. Well, don't just take that as an inspirational moment. Grab hold of it. It is a message. It is a Word. It's not just words. It is now the Word to you. And the Holy Spirit has grabbed that Word and put it and caused it to lodge in your soul. See, the Spirit and the Word has to disciple your brain. That's the part that a lot of us never allow to happen. We have to allow the Word and the Spirit to disciple our soul. Our soul is the battleground. That's where everything takes place. That is the battleground in the Garden of Eden. It was soulish. See, in the beginning, the soul was not dominant. In the beginning, there was a body and there was spirit. God created a body and He breathed His Spirit into the body, and it became a living being. So the Spirit and the body were dominant. The soul was merely a servant of the Spirit and the body to let us connect to this world, to let us see, to let us hear, to let us touch and feel and smell and all the senses and the emotions. And it was the soul was a servant to the Spirit. But then the serpent beguiled Eve with reasoning. The serpent was able to get the reasoning, the soulish part, to step forward and be dominant. That's why in the book of Romans chapter 8, it's a spirit chapter. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It cannot be reconciled to God. The carnal mind is death, but the spiritual mind is life. What's it talking about? It's talking about the fact that the soul is not ordained by God to be dominant in our life. It was never given that position. The reason death came is because the soul became dominant over the spirit. And now we have suffered all these years trying to deal. Read the writings of Paul. Paul deals so much in his writings with the soul. He constantly deals with the soul. Why? Because the soul is the battleground. Your thinking is the battleground. So if you don't allow the Word and the Holy Spirit to disciple your brain, then you will never know what it's like to have faith, which is a firm conviction. A firm conviction. Very few people today have firm convictions. We try it and see if it works. We get the video game mentality. We play it a little bit. If we don't like it, we reset it. Faith doesn't do that. Faith grabs hold of the Word and never resets it. Faith says, this is the truth. This is Word. This is my firm conviction. I believe this, and I will, like Job said, though God slay me, I will trust Him. A firm conviction. unless we allow the Holy Spirit and the Word to converge in our soul, faith will never be able to operate in our life. Because we will constantly try to figure this thing out. How often do we try to figure this thing out? If there's one thing I've learned in 37 years of preaching the gospel, it's this: I have no idea how this works. You can read all the 10-step books you want, but at some point, you're going to have to fall on your knees before God and say, God, I yield everything to you, and I ask the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to take over my life right now. Amen. Those type of things can help you discipline yourself. 10 steps of this, it can help you discipline yourself if you have to actually follow them. But most people, you know, it's like they're following the rainbow trying to find the pot of gold at the end. You know, okay, I'm going to read this book, and if I read this book, I'll receive all this. No, if the Word gets in you and is anointed and revealed by the Holy Spirit, then the Word and the Spirit will manifest, which is what brings forth the nature and acts of God. Hallelujah. You're never going to figure this thing out. When people ask me, why does this work sometimes, why does it not work sometimes, I just simply say, because we ain't got it yet. I don't know why in the world we think that we can elevate ourselves above God and figure this thing out and tell Him He's not doing things right. Your position before God is, God, I am nothing, I have nothing, but You are everything, and I yield to You. I don't understand why things happen. I don't understand how this is working, but I yield to You. I don't understand why sometimes I receive and sometimes I don't, but I yield to You. Praise God. I submit myself to You. Paul constantly talked about bringing the flesh under submission. That was Paul's teaching was almost all about the flesh and the soul. Why? Because that's the battleground. And that is the part of our life that has usurped itself over the authority of God. So we have to yield our carnal mind to the Holy Spirit and let the Word of God and the Holy Spirit converge in our soul and teach us to follow God. Amen. Now, I realize that I could get a lot more people inspired if I got up here and said, I've got it all figured out and this is how you do it. Anybody that would say that, they don't have it all figured out. Because as sure as you think you got it all figured out, God will disprove. It's like the guy that, when was it, 1988? Jesus was supposed to come in 1988. He wrote a book. Was it 1988? He wrote a book about it. And I mean, it went crazy. People started buying it like crazy. You know why people buy that kind of stuff like crazy? Because we want to know a date when we have to get right with God. Instead of living every day like He's coming today, and if He doesn't, I'm going to do everything I can to honor His name today. And so people bought that, and I mean, it was a big deal, and there was even billboards up, and he made millions and millions and millions of dollars off that book. And it's because people want to reason this thing out. Well, Jesus didn't come in 1988. And so in 1989, he came out with another book, Why Jesus Didn't Come in 1988. Believe it or not, made more millions because people bought that book. All you have to do is go back to the Word that says you know not the day nor the hour. In other words, God isn't foolish enough to let us know when all this is going to happen, because he knows we will be foolish until it's time. Lord, we want to know when you're coming back, because just a few days prior to that, I'm going to really get serious about this thing. It's like some college students told me one time, going to CBC, studying to be pastors, living terrible lives. I mean, terrible lives. They were doing everything the world was doing. And when I asked them why, they said, we'll get serious about this when we graduate. You know what I told them? Who sent you to Bible college? Because you wasn't called. You wasn't called. If you're called, it's something that grips you. It's not something you decide to do or don't do. It's something that grips you and takes over your life and dominates your life. You can't help but follow it. So it's not just a word. Let's go to, I need to show you just a little bit more here. In 3 John, have you seen that little picture, that little funny? Somebody put on Facebook, says, the face you make when the pastor says, I'm closing. And somebody says, take your time, preacher. So I'm not going to say that. Chapter 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. I don't think we are actually grabbing the truth of what's said in that statement. We are trying to receive the things of God without our soul prospering. Our soul is the carnal part that has usurped itself over the authority of the Spirit. The word flesh that Paul uses in the Bible, in the New Testament, the word flesh is an unholy union between the soul and the body against the Spirit. So every time you read where it says flesh, it's not just talking about this body. It's talking about the unholy union that took place between the soul and the body against the Spirit. That's why God told them that they would die if they ate of the fruit. Why? Because they removed themselves from the leadership and guidance of God's Spirit and brought themselves under the carnal dictates of lust and passion. The soul and the body. And here, John is saying, beloved, I pray that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. In other words, as you allow the Word and the Spirit to disciple your soul and bring it under submission to the Spirit, you will prosper and be in health. Why? Because the Word and the Spirit will manifest in your life, and it'll cause it to happen. We don't have to, you know, I've told God so many times. I've asked Him, I said, God, you know, there are so many more qualified people that could have done a lot better job than what I've done, and yet you called me. But you know why God does that? Because He wants us to be totally dependent. Totally dependent. Amen. Praise God. When I was younger, I wouldn't talk in front of people. And then God has a sense of humor and calls me to preach. And people have been telling me ever since then that I should have remained, you know, the person that didn't talk in front of people. And I tell God, I say, see? But God wants us to be totally dependent. Why? Because He wants His Holy Spirit to speak. He wants His Holy Spirit to manifest. Amen. That's why a lot of preachers have said over the years that sometimes the times when I feel like I've done the worst job is when God does the greatest. Why? Because He wants us to understand that He is the one that does the work. It's the Spirit that does the work. So if our soul is not prospering in faith, then we're not going to be able to prosper in any other way. Why? Because our soul is the dictator that has to be brought down. Our soul is the troublemaker that keeps us from being able to receive from God. Did you know that you are three parts? You are spirit, number one. A lot of us have this backwards. You are spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. This body is the transportation of the spirit. The soul is the part that causes this thing, this body, to function. That's what makes my hands move, my arms move, my legs move. My brain tells my body to move. Some mornings anymore, it has to really get insistent. But my brain is the part that makes me move or function. Okay? So we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. A lot of us have that backwards. We believe we are a body with a soul and a spirit. Totally not true. So your soul, now think about this, everything that God is, Holy Spirit is. Is that not true? Didn't Holy Spirit come to teach us everything about Jesus? Didn't He come to manifest to us, John chapter 16, that He came to show us everything that He had? And Jesus said, all things that the Father has are mine. That's why I told you that I will, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you all things that I have. And so Holy Spirit is everything Jesus was. He has everything. Now, when Holy Spirit is living inside of you, then that means there has been a God deposit in you of everything He is and everything He has. Holy Spirit is not different from God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. I'm not going to get into a theological dissertation with you over that. It is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They all work together. It's beyond our comprehension. It's beyond our understanding. So there's absolutely no sense in arguing about it. When we get to heaven, God will explain it to us, and we'll understand all of it. But for right now, we know that there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and they are one. And Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, we will take our abode in you. We will make our abode in you. So in other words, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit abides in you. Now if that is true, why is it that we have so much trouble receiving from God? Because there is something, if you're trying to receive healing in your body, what is the problem? If everything God is living in your spirit and has all of the ability and power of God, and He's living in this vehicle, why is it that we have trouble receiving from God? Because between the spirit and the body is this antagonistic thing called the soul. And the soul will not release it to the body because the soul wants credit for it and wants to be dominant over it. So there's a battle between the spirit and the soul, and the Bible says that it can't be reconciled. There's only one thing that can happen, and the soul has to humble itself. The soul has to become subservient to the spirit. So if our soul can be discipled by the spirit and by the Word, then that removes the hindrance. And that which is inside of you by the Holy Spirit can manifest out of you to the part that we walk in. Hallelujah. I've received this. I struggle with it every day like you do, except when we have the principles, we actually overcome. Amen. I'll never forget when the Holy Spirit taught me this. I was pastoring a church, and for whatever reason, I was sick all the time. I mean, all the time. We were the sickest bunch. I mean, we had our kids at the doctor every 10 days getting antibiotics because they all had infection. We were always sick. It was awful. One reason I found out later, this is going to gross some of y'all out. I found out later that the house we were living in, the parsonage of the church, it always had this strange smell. Really weird smell that we could never get rid of. And so one day, looking, trying to figure out what the smell is, after we'd lived there quite a while, I went around and found a crawl space underneath the house, and it was boarded up, and I took the boards off and shined a flashlight under there, and whoever put the plumbing on the bottom of the toilet didn't glue it. And it had fallen off for years. And so the underneath of that house had a mound that filled the hole underneath from foundation to foundation. We were living in a septic tank. Woo! I told people later, this sounds kind of rude, but I told people later, I said, I have dealt with all the crap from every pastor that's been in this church. And it was absolutely true. Because I had years of collection. Well, being the pastor of a church that had a hard time spending the money just to change light bulbs when they went out, I knew that I had no recourse other than to shovel all of it out from under the house myself. And so I put my coveralls on and crawled under there with a shovel and a bucket and for days filled a bucket. There was only this much room between in the crawl space. Drug it to the opening. Had a barrel laying down on the side and I would put it in the barrel. When I got it full enough, I would crawl out from under the house, pull the barrel up, drag it off down into the woods and dump it. And I did that until I had all that house underneath cleaned up. And then I put lye all underneath the house and everything I could do to try to straighten that up. So me and my family were sick all the time. We didn't know why, but we were sick all the time. And one day I got up and I was so tired of being sick. I mean, flus and strep throat and just constant infirmities all the time. And I got so tired of it. And I woke up one morning and I was running a fever and I was sick and my throat was burning. And I was in the bathroom and I said, God, this is not your covenant. This is not what your word says. I'm trying to represent your word and I can't even make it through a day, seems like. And I said, God, there's something wrong here. I need to understand what's wrong. And he led me to 1 Corinthians, where it says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and you're not your own, but you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Didn't say anything about soul, just body and spirit. And when I read that, it literally became the word to me. It wasn't just words, it was the word. The revelation come to me that this body that is sick all the time is the temple, the dwelling place, the vehicle of the Holy Spirit. I am owned. Holy Spirit owns this body. And it just come alive inside of me, and I said, God, you own this body. Now it's high time you start maintaining this body, because it's not doing very good. And so I began to declare over myself, I am the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit in me has power over my physical body. Therefore, I receive everything Holy Spirit is in my physical body, and I am healed. From that day on, sickness and infirmity started going away from our bodies. We walked out of sickness. We walked out of constantly being sick. We still got hit once in a while, and still do from time to time. But we walked out of that. Why? Because I got a word. I didn't just get words, but I got a word that told me that this body was hindering the operation of the Holy Spirit, and it had to come in line with who owned it. And so I begin to declare, everything that is in me that is not of God, I evict you from the premises now. You have to be evicted from the premises. You are not lawfully here. You are illegally in my body, because my body is owned by the Holy Spirit. So when you get a hold of that revelation, it begins to change who you are. And I've had to live by that over and over and over. If you're going to travel to other countries, you're going to battle things like that, because it's such an impact on your body. The time change, changes in what you're around. Your body isn't going to have resistance build up to the germs and bacteria and viruses of that country. So you're going to get hit from time to time with sickness. So what are you going to do? Just lay down and quit? You say, well, I traveled all this way, but I can't do anything. No. You begin to declare over yourself, who owns this body? You will function, and you will do what Holy Spirit wants, because you are the vehicle. You are not the boss. I can't tell you how many times I have got up and went and preached the gospel when I was not in any shape to be doing so. And yet God was there, and He showed up. And God, His promises are yea and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's been times I've struggled day after day after day with this thing. And struggled with it, but refused to quit. Why? Because I know who the boss is. When my body quit me in South Africa, I told God, I said, God, you own this thing. And if this is where it ends, I'll see you in just a few minutes. But if it's not, you might ought to do something if you want to get some more miles out of me. And He did something. Amen. He did something. Come on, somebody. Grab hold of this truth today. It is not just about hearing words. It's about getting the word on the inside of you. Hallelujah. And when the word and Holy Spirit come together, there's an atomic reaction that takes place on the inside of you, and power is released into your being. Ephesians chapter 3, I believe it is verse 20. Now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. I never forget one year coming home from Cuba. Got some kind of amoeba in Cuba. Made me very sick. We preached the gospel twice a day, traveling all over Cuba. preaching the gospel during the day and at night in a different village. Every service was in a different village. We traveled constantly, and everywhere we went, we had to eat food in their little huts that I don't know how they prepared it. I've had a hard time eating chicken ever since then because it's like they just heated it up in water. There was no seasoning or anything. It's the awfulest tasting stuff I ever tasted. And we had to eat that twice a day because everywhere we went, we had to eat that. I came home from there. I lost 18 pounds in 8 days. Very sick. Flew back into Haiti. Had one night to stay in Haiti before I flew back to the United States. I spent the time in Haiti, I spent unconscious on a cement floor. Out. Got on the plane. Extremely sick. Got home. Betty picked me up at the airport. Couldn't do anything. 3 days later, we had to fly out to Mexico to do a conference in Mexico. I'd lost 18 pounds. Couldn't eat. Was still getting sicker by the day. We had to fly out on Thursday. On Wednesday night, the people here at this church prayed for me. I was still in bed. Prayed for me. We had to fly out. We had to get up at 3 o'clock the next morning on Thursday morning to get to the airport and fly out. I finally went to sleep at 1 o'clock that morning. The alarm went off at 3 o'clock. When I went to sleep at 1 o'clock, I was still very, very ill. The alarm went off at 3 o'clock. I woke up completely full of strength, feeling great, got up, got to the airport, went and preached a week in Mexico, had no problems, no illness, no sickness, and was able to walk in strength that whole week. In 3 days, in 2 hours, everything changed in 2 hours. Why? Because God owns this thing. And when He wants to use it, He has to get it up and make it work. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on. When God owns it, when you allow the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to have the preeminence in your life, then what they are is what manifests. Stand up. I'm not going to say I'm quitting. Come on. Come on, worship team. Praise God. When we translate that into everything else, into our finances, if God doesn't own your finances, then He can't bless your finances. Amen. Why do we have child dedication services? It's not because we believe that dedication service somehow saves that child. It's because we're presenting that child to God and saying, God, this child belongs to You. Therefore, this child is blessed because he belongs to You. Whatever we yield to God, whatever we put in God's hands, God's able to bless. But the devil will always try to kill what you put in God's hands. Faith and the Spirit, the revelation, is what causes you to be able to walk through that and make it.